Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, January 13th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
the House moves forward with a vote to impeach President Trump.
More companies pause political donations to lawmakers.
The Justice Department warns against violence leading up to Inauguration Day.
And we're learning more about Joe Biden's plans for the next round of stimulus.
New York Mayor de Blasio weighs pulling city contracts with the Trump Organization. Plus, it's the first federal execution of a woman in almost seven decades. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Nets still without Kyrie Irving rallied to beat Denver. The Big East, St. John's beat Butler.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 991 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. futures are a little changed this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures down 2 points, Dow futures down 11, NASDAQ futures up 6. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.1%, CAC in Paris up 0.1%, and the FTSE 100 little changed. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 1.12%, yield on the 2-year 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.3% or 17 cents at $53.38 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.5% or $9.70 at $18.53.90 an ounce. Nathan.
Karen, we begin on Capitol Hill, where the House votes today on a second impeachment of President Trump. That's after Speaker Nancy Pelosi urged Vice President Mike Pence to remove the president using the 25th Amendment.
The president's actions demonstrate his absolute inability to discharge the most basic and fundamental powers and duties of his office. Therefore, the president must be removed from office immediately.
Now, the vice president's already said he won't comply with that request, while President Trump is defending his remarks before the Capitol siege last week.
They've analyzed my speech and my words and my final paragraph, my final sentence, and everybody to the T thought it was totally appropriate.
House debate over impeachment begins this morning with votes expected mid to late afternoon.
The push for impeachment is causing a major split among Republicans. Liz Cheney of Wyoming, John Katko of New York, and Adam Kinzinger of Illinois have come out in favor of the move. We get more from Bloomberg contributor and former McCain campaign manager Rick Davis.
I do think Republican leadership in the House are looking to the future and trying to figure out how to dislocate themselves from Donald Trump in an effort to try and, one, get stronger candidates in the primary, and two, ensure that they have the best message in the general election.
Senator Mitch McConnell is reportedly pleased that Democrats are pushing impeachment. That's according to the New York Times, which says McConnell thinks the move makes it easier to purge President Trump from the party.
As the rift in Washington deepens, more companies are taking action against politicians who undermined last year's election. Here with the very latest is Bloomberg's Karen Chase.
Nathan, Walmart and Walt Disney are the latest to cut off donations to Republicans to punish them for voting to reject the certification of the Electoral College votes and undermine the U.S. election. Disney called the insurrection at the Capitol a direct assault on one of the country's most revered tenets, the peaceful transition of power. Walmart is indefinitely suspending contributions to the GOP. The two business giants are among the most notable corporations to make such statements, joining J.P. Morgan Chase, Coca-Cola, and 3M. Karen Chase, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Karen, thank you. The Justice Department is warning against rioters in the Capitol leading up to the inauguration. Acting Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen is sending a message to anyone contemplating violence.
We will have no tolerance whatsoever for any attempts to disrupt the peaceful transfer of power on January 20th that our Constitution calls for.
And Rosen is calling on the public to share any information about threats. He also says the department supports the exercise of constitutional rights.
As the inauguration approaches, President-elect Joe Biden continues to fill out his cabinet. And Bloomberg News has learned Biden plans to name Wall Street critic Gary Gensler head of the Securities and Exchange Commission. Amy Morris has more from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Gensler ran the Commodity Futures Trading Commission during the Obama administration and was the driving force behind the government's oversight of the over-the-counter swaps market. If he's confirmed, Gensler is expected to undo Trump administration policy, including reversing rollbacks of post-crisis rules and toughening new standards for stockbroker conduct. While Gensler, known for sparring with financial executives, is seen as the leading candidate for the post, sources tell Bloomberg a final decision hasn't been made yet. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Once in office, one of Biden's top priorities will be another round of stimulus. And now we're learning more about his efforts there. And Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us now with the details. John.
Karen, sources tell us the president-elect will seek a deal with Republicans rather than ram COVID relief through without their support. The approach could mean a smaller initial package that features some priorities favored by Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell. The move is designed to avoid using a special budget process that would remove the need to get support from at least 10 Republicans in the Senate. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, John. When it comes to the pandemic, the U.S. saw its deadliest day yet. More than 4,600 Americans succumbed to the virus as daily infections hold above 200,000. And that new strain continues to spread. Maryland Governor Larry Hogan is the latest to report new cases of that.
State Public Health Laboratory has confirmed the first two cases of the U.K. variant of COVID-19 in the state of Maryland.
In the meantime, the vaccine effort continues to gather steam. Health officials are pushing states to expand availability to anyone 65 and older. So far, the U.S. has administered nearly 10 million doses. Get the latest on the effort from our Bloomberg vaccine tracker online at Bloomberg.com.
There's also fresh concern over vaccine safety. Pfizer and health officials are investigating the death of a healthcare worker 16 days after receiving his first shot. We get more on that story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Pfizer said so far the evidence does not suggest a connection. The Florida-based physician developed a rare disorder called severe thrombocytopenia that decreases the body's ability to clot blood and stop internal bleeding. Pfizer cited its clinical trials and data gathered since the vaccine was authorized in the U.S. in reporting its initial conclusion that the evidence does not support a causal association to the shot that it developed with Germany's BioNTech. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. S&P futures down about 3 points this morning. Dow futures down 9. NASDAQ futures down 2. And straight ahead, we have the latest local headlines plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It is 6:07 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in New York and around the world with Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says that he has directed his legal team to review whether grounds exist to end deals with the Trump Organization. It follows last week's violence at the U.S. Capitol. De Blasio said there are several contracts with the city, and they are all under review.
The president incited a rebellion against the United States government, clearly unconstitutional act, and people died. That's unforgivable.
The Trump Organization has more than $17 million in contracts with the city. Many of these are for iconic tourist attractions in New York, including a golf course, a carousel, and two ice rinks. The son of a New York judge was charged in last week's riot at the Capitol. Aaron Matofsky of Brooklyn is accused of stealing a U.S. Capitol Police riot shield and armored vest as he joined the mob that stormed the building. He was released on a $100,000 bond. YouTube has suspended President Trump's channel for at least a week amid concerns around ongoing potential for violence, making it the latest platform to limit the president's online activities. New York, like other states, is set to receive from the feds more doses of the COVID vaccine. The supply will allow the state to offer its vaccine up to anyone 65 or older. Governor Andrew Cuomo.
We are going to accept the federal guidance of the 65 plus and the immunocompromised. I don't want New Yorkers to think that we are not doing everything we can to make them eligible for the vaccine.
People who are age 75 and up and transit employees, grocery clerks, teachers, police officers, firefighters, and others became eligible to get the vaccine Monday. Anyone flying to the U.S. will soon need to show proof of a negative test for COVID-19. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention requirement expands on a similar one announced late last month for passengers coming from the United Kingdom. The new order takes effect on January 26th. The U.S. government has carried out its first execution of a female inmate in 67 years. Authorities executed a Kansas woman who killed an expectant mother in Missouri. Lisa Montgomery was the 11th prisoner executed since July when President Trump resumed federal executions following 17 years without one. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. We're coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower. John?
Thanks, Nathan. While the Nets were able to come from behind, beat Denver at Barclays last night, 122-116. Kevin Durant leading the way, 34 points, 13 assists, 9 rebounds. The story continues to be the mysterious absence of Kyrie Irving. He's now missed the last 4 games. He's not expected to play tonight against the Knicks or even on Saturday against Orlando, all for personal reasons. The Nets have never commented on exactly what's going on here. There had been a report of Irving citing the riot at the Capitol as the reason. Meanwhile, the team and the NBA looking into reports of the video where Irving is at a family birthday party not wearing a mask. 2 more NBA games were supposed to be played tonight, postponed due to COVID. Utah against Washington and Orlando at Boston. The Celtics have had 3 games in the last 4 nights postponed. And the NBA has agreed with the union on new protocols. Players sitting on the bench now must wear a mask. Players can't leave the hotel on the road, can't have visitors. College hoops, first win of 2021 for St. John's, 69-57 over Butler. Also, Michigan blew out Wisconsin. The Wolverines are 11-0. In the ACC, Duke lost to Virginia Tech. North Carolina beat Syracuse. The NHL season begins tonight. The Rangers and Islanders will face off tomorrow at the Garden. Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy on the list of candidates for the Jets coaching job, but he's now also talking to the Houston Texans. Devontae Freeman was the Giants' top rusher for 5 games before he hurt his ankle and got waived. He's now healthy. He's been signed by Buffalo, who had a running back go down last week. He could play in the Bills playoff game with Baltimore on Saturday. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
And Johnny can quarterback a game, but can he host a game show? We'll find out soon. Green Bay Packers QB Aaron Rodgers is going to be one of the interim guest hosts on Jeopardy, who've been tapped to replace Alex Trebek after his death in November. Rodgers won Celebrity Jeopardy back in 2015. Futures Mix, this is Bloomberg. And it's coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a tri-state Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. The dollar is strengthening while European shares and U.S. stock index futures are fluctuating as investors focus on comments from the Federal Reserve and European Central Bank about the outlook for monetary stimulus. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures now down a point, Dow futures up 6, and NASDAQ futures are up 5. The DAX in Germany is also little change. 10-year Treasury up 1/32, yield 1.12%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.4% or 21 cents at $53.42 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.5% or $9.60 at $18.53.90 an ounce. The euro 1.2174 against the dollar. British pound 1.3666 and the yen is at 103.96. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, with impeachment ahead, the House tried first to push the vice president and cabinet to act even more quickly to remove President Donald Trump from office. Democrats approved a resolution last night calling on Vice President Pence to invoke constitutional authority under the 25th Amendment to oust President Trump, though Pence said he would not do so. The House will vote today on actually impeaching President Trump. Former Michigan Governor Rick Snyder, his health director, and other ex-officials have been told they're being charged. The Associated Press reports it's after a new investigation of the Flint water scandal. The lead-contaminated water devastated the mostly black city and was blamed for a deadly outbreak of Legionnaires' disease. In the NBA, the Nets beat the Nuggets 122-116. The Warriors lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and with so much focus on political turmoil in this country. It may be hard to remember, perhaps, that we are still in the midst of a pandemic. It is one that continues to set records. Another record one-day total of deaths in the U.S. from COVID-19 just yesterday. But efforts to speed up the vaccination rollout are starting to pick up some steam. So let's get more on what's happening in the pandemic from Dr. Andy Pekosch, professor of molecular microbiology and immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, joining us the morning after we saw a record more than 4,000 daily deaths from COVID-19. Professor, are we seeing the post-holiday surge sort of play itself out in real time right now?
Yeah, I think that absolutely is the case. Testing has been a little bit difficult to do over the holiday periods because testing facilities can be open and closed at odd hours. But it certainly looks like the trends are now pointing towards the more severe cases popping up, you know, in that range of 10 to 12 days after the New Year's holidays, which is what we would expect to see for severe cases. And again, this is a trend that is no longer sort of localized to small areas. It's pretty consistent across the entire country, with rarely any places that aren't fitting into this surge of cases.
Are we starting to see any evidence yet that these new variants of coronavirus that have been shown to spread more rapidly, more effectively, are behind the greater severity of cases that we're starting to see?
Yeah, it's a great point, Nathan. Right now, we haven't seen huge numbers of these new variants being identified here in the U.S. So I think right now, you know, the surge in cases is really coming from all of the other lineages of this virus that have been circulating. But, you know, it's really important for public health officials to pay attention to these new variants. It's still a little bit unclear as to how significant a threat these new variants, especially the one from the UK, are to public health. But certainly public health agencies across the country are now monitoring for it and trying to get a sense of how many of the cases are being driven by the new variant versus the other lineages of SARS-CoV-2 that are out there, so we can really get a sense of, is this doing the same thing that it did in the UK in terms of increased spread and increased transmission in the population.
I'm really curious to get your thoughts about the new guidelines that we've received from the CDC just yesterday, recommending that states make vaccine available now to anyone over age 65 and no longer holding back second doses to ensure that people do come back for that second shot. What impact will that have?
Well, you know, this is a touchy area because certainly, personally speaking, I would love to see everybody in the high-risk groups trying to get the vaccine as fast as possible. However, I don't think that diverging from the scientifically established two-dose regimen spaced 3 to 4 weeks apart, depending on which vaccine you're getting, is really a good thing to do right now. You know, the bigger problem that we're having with the vaccine rollout is just getting the vaccine into the arms of people. And so that can be changed by altering resources, training more people to administer the vaccine, so on and so forth. I don't think that we need to change the vaccination schedule to get vaccine out to more people. We just need to be more efficient as to taking those vials, getting the vaccine into syringes, and getting that into people's arms. And so the ideal thing would be to get better at vaccinating, be able to put more people through the vaccine process, but keep the schedule as is dictated.
Well, in our last minute here, Professor, what's it going to take to smooth out the rollout process and ensure that people do get the doses that are recommended?
Yeah, once we move into vaccinating more the general public, we won't have the constraints that we have now of, you know, for instance, healthcare workers going to hospitals that are already swamped with COVID cases and trying to immunize hundreds of thousands of people or thousands of people a day in those settings, going to retirement homes where access has to be very carefully monitored. You know, we immunize 100 million or more people every year for influenza during a period of about 2 to 3 months or so. I think we can do the same thing with COVID-19 once we move into the general population, provided that the manufacturing of the vaccine continues to increase on a weekly basis as it is right now. So the flu vaccine campaign is a great example to follow for the COVID-19 vaccination campaign.
Always good getting your insights. Thank you, as always, for being with us. Professor Andy Pekosh, Professor of Molecular Microbiology and Immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, supported by Michael Bloomberg, founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP. That is the parent company of Bloomberg Radio. And with nearly 10 million vaccine doses already administered across the country, you can keep track of the vaccine rollout through the Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker. It is available at Bloomberg.com. S&P futures and Dow futures both down 2 points now. NASDAQ futures lower by 7 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by your tri-state area Land Rover retailers. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender Motor Trends 2021 SUV of the Year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The House has passed a resolution urging Vice President Mike Pence to remove the president from office using the 25th Amendment.
On this vote, the yeas are 223, the nays are 205. The resolution is adopted without objection.
The vice president says he will not comply, setting the stage for a vote on impeachment today. House debate begins this morning with a vote expected mid to late afternoon.
Now, the push for impeachment is causing a major split among Republicans. Liz Cheney of Wyoming, John Katko of New York, and Adam Kinzinger of New York have come out in favor of the move. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is reportedly pleased impeachment's moving forward. The New York Times says he thinks the move makes it easier to purge President Trump from the party.
As the rift in Washington continues, more companies are taking action against politicians who undermine the election. Disney and Walmart are halting political contributions to lawmakers who voted to reject certification of the election. That follows similar moves from J.P. Morgan, Coca-Cola, and 3M.
And the Justice Department has a message for anyone planning more violence in the lead-up to Inauguration Day.
The Department of Justice will seek to hold any violators accountable to the fullest extent of the law. Any wrongdoers will be caught, and they will be accountable.
Acting Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen issued the message to those attempting to disrupt the peaceful transfer of power. The FBI warns of armed protests in all 50 state capitals leading up to the inauguration.
And as that day approaches, President-elect Joe Biden continues to fill out his cabinet. Bloomberg News has learned he plans to name Wall Street critic Gary Gensler as head of the Securities and Exchange Commission. Gensler ran the Commodity Futures Trading Commission under President Obama and is known for sparring with finance executives.
And finally, a note on the pandemic. We're coming off the deadliest day yet in the fight against the coronavirus. More than 4,600 Americans succumbed to the disease as daily infections hold above 200,000. Meantime, the vaccine effort continues to ramp up. Health officials are now pushing states to expand availability to anyone 65 and older.
And futures are extending their losses. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 6 points, Dow futures down 28, and NASDAQ futures are down 18. The DAX in Germany also extending its loss down about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 1.12%, yield on the 2-year 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.25% or 12 cents at $53.34 a barrel. And straight ahead, we have the latest local news and a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It is 6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update is brought to you by your tri-state area Land Rover retailers. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender Motor Trends 2021 SUV of the Year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond. Good morning, Michael Barr.
Good morning, Nathan. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says that he has directed his legal team to review whether grounds exist to end deals with the Trump Organization. It comes after last week's insurrection at the Capitol. De Blasio says the president incited a rebellion and people died. That's unforgivable.
Our legal team is right now assessing the options, and as quickly as we come to a resolution, we're going to have something to say. But yes, there are several contracts with the city of New York, and they're all under review right now.
The Trump Organization has more than $17 million in contracts with the city. Many of these are for iconic tourist attractions. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is calling for those who participated in last week's Capitol riot to be placed on the U.S. no-fly list. Schumer says the outlaws should be treated like terrorists.
These insurrectionists, many of whom are known to be at large, should not be able to hop on a flight.
Meanwhile, the son of a New York judge was charged in last week's riot at the Capitol. Aaron Matofsky is accused of stealing a U.S. Capitol Police riot shield and armored vest as he joined the mob that stormed the building. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez talked about her Capitol riot experience in an Instagram live video last night. The New York representative says she was scared for her life and worried about other members of Congress knowing her location within the Capitol that day.
I do not know if I can even disclose the full details of that event due to security concerns, but I can tell you that I had a very close encounter where I thought I was going to die.
Governor Andrew Cuomo says he expanded the vaccine criteria to include anyone 65 or older. Cuomo says, though, his supply from the federal government remains capped for now at 300,000. Governor Cuomo said the feds want to make sure that states have enough vaccine stored for second doses.
The theory is if they gave me your first and second dose, I may have given your first dose, and then given your second dose to somebody else.
The U.S. will require proof of a negative COVID-19 test before allowing visitors to fly into the country from other nations. It will take effect on January 26th. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. Just about 6:36 on Wall Street. John Stashow is here with the Bloomberg Sports Update. John.
All right, Nathan, the Nets hosting Denver, trailed by 16 at the half, came back and won 122-116 thanks to Kevin Durant. 34 points, 13 assists, 9 rebounds. Caris LeVert added 20. The Nets will face the Knicks tonight. The Knicks have lost 3 in a row since a 3-game winning streak. And Kyrie Irving not expected to play tonight for Brooklyn. That'll make it 5 straight games that Irving has missed, all for the mysterious personal reasons. The Nets admit they are aware of a video of Irving at a recent family birthday party not wearing a mask. NBA dealing with COVID. New protocols include all players now sitting on the bench have to wear a mask. Players can't leave the hotel on the road, can't have visitors. Celtics have had 3 games and 4 nights postponed. Utah-Washington game tonight is off. Teams need to be able to dress 8 players. Miami and Philadelphia both just barely made it to 8. They played in Philly. The Sixers won in overtime. Joel Embiid scored 45 points. The Lakers are 9-3, 6-0 on the road. They won at Houston. The Rockets have lost 4-5. James Harden not scoring at anywhere near the pace he usually does. And last night, Harden went public with his trade demand, said the team just isn't any good. College hoops, St. John's beat Butler 69-53. The Mets introduced veteran pitcher Carlos Carrasco, acquired in that trade with Cleveland. Carrasco, a cancer survivor who in 2019 won the Roberto Clemente Award for Community Service. He said he's looking forward to continuing his work in New York. New York Times reports that among the rioters at the Capitol last week, former U.S. Olympic swimmer Cleet Keller, now 38, he won a gold medal in 2004. John Stashow, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks and some of the names on the move in the pre-market this morning. Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson joins us now. What's driving your attention this morning, Dave?
Well, General Motors, because the automaker's shares are poised to set a record for the second straight day. Now, GM unveiled plans yesterday to start a new unit called BrightDrop that will supply battery-powered vans and manage fleets. So GM's benefiting from the enthusiasm for electric vehicles, and that would explain why the shares surpassed the record from when the company went public several years back. And GM's former auto unit, Ally Financial, is up 3%. The auto lender said it will resume stock buybacks this quarter and repurchase as much as $1.6 billion of shares in 2020. Ally cited results of a stress test by the Federal Reserve. Now, the company did keep its quarterly dividend at 19 cents a share after raising it 5 times since 2017. So Ally's making a choice to reward shareholders through buybacks as opposed to higher payouts, at least for now.
All right. So maybe a bit of a focus on the move toward electric this morning. But taking a look at oil, it's seeing a bit of a bump. How's that playing out in oil-facing stocks?
Well, ExxonMobil notably was raised the equivalent of buy from hold at J.P. Morgan. The shares are up 1%. What makes this call interesting is the data compiled by Bloomberg shows it's the first time analyst Phil Gresh has recommended buying ExxonMobil since he began coverage in 2014. So a call like that gets your attention. Contrasted with DuPont, which is down 2.5%, the chemical company was cut to hold from buy at HSBC. And I'll point out one more stock for you that's going to begin trading today, Nathan. Affirm Holdings. This is an online lender that just completed a $1.2 billion initial public offering. Affirm made the IPO at $49 a share, and that was above a range that had been raised on Monday.
All right. So
there's
just
a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah, certainly sounds like it. Now, in our last 30 seconds here, Dave, what other stocks are you going to be watching ahead of the open?
Well, there's a couple of deal-related shares. Grubhub, the food delivery company, down 4%. It's Dutch Suter, Just Eat Takeaway, gave a disappointing profit margin estimate for last year. And American Towers up 1.5%. This company owns cell phone towers, and they made a deal to buy European and Latin American towers from Spain's Telefonica for $9.4 billion in cash.
Bloomberg Stocks Editor Dave Wilson, thank you as always. And taking a look at the broader market this morning, we've seen some fluctuation between gains and losses for futures contracts. Right now, modest losses for the S&P futures are down about 0.1% or 5 points. Dow futures down 27 points. That's almost 0.1% of a decline. And NASDAQ futures are lower by 16 points. That, too, is a drop of 0.1%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by your tri-state area Land Rover retailers, introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender. Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. The dollar strengthening while European stocks and U.S. stock index futures are fluctuating a bit as investors focus on comments from the Federal Reserve and European Central Bank about the outlook for monetary stimulus. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures, they're lower, down 4 points. Dow futures down 14. NASDAQ futures down 6. The DAX in Germany is down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd. The yield 1.12%. Yield on the two-year, 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.3% or 16 cents at $53.37 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.6% or $10.40 at $18.54.60 an ounce. The euro, 1.2168 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3666. And the yen is at 103.98. Today we get a look at inflation with the consumer price index at 8:30 Wall Street time. The Federal Reserve releases its beige book at 2. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the backlash to last week's violence at the Capitol is growing. The House is expected to vote today on whether to impeach the president for a second time. Representative Liz Cheney, the third highest ranking Republican in the House, is in favor of impeachment. Cheney is now among other House GOP members and more than 200 Democrats seeking to impeach President Trump for willfully inciting violence against the government. The president is standing by those comments he made January 6th. Senator Ted Cruz's communications director has resigned. Lauren Blair Bianchi quit as Cruz continues to face fallout from efforts to overturn the results of the presidential election. In the NBA, the Nets beat the Nuggets 122-116. The Warriors lost. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
For Biden to solve inequality, he'll need good Wi-Fi. I'm Tara LaChapelle, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. COVID-19 brought home the urgency of closing a digital divide that has left millions in the cold under lockdowns. But to close this divide, we need to be able to answer this most fundamental question. Where is it? Not even regulators have a good handle on this. The FCC estimates that 18 million people in the U.S. don't have broadband access. but that data is widely considered to be flawed. Some sources estimate the figure to be twice as high, and Microsoft's own user data suggests that more than 150 million Americans aren't using the internet at broadband speeds. That's roughly half the population. President-elect Joe Biden says the four policy areas he'll prioritize are COVID-19, the economic recovery, racial equity, and climate change. Tackling these interconnected yet discrete crises depends in part on ensuring that every American has access to high-speed internet. I'm Tara LaChapelle. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPINGO. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories from our nation's capital include the House readying an impeachment vote, an unprecedented second impeachment vote as Republicans break from President Trump. A defiant president tries to burnish his legacy amid the growing riot fury. And President-elect Joe Biden will start his term with an interim cabinet. For more on all this, we're joined by Bloomberg Politics editor Kathleen Hunter as we are just a little more than 2 hours away from the start of debate over this article of impeachment against President Trump. Kate, what are we watching for later today?
Well, I think the really key question is going to be on the Republican side, what we see as the delta or the change between the number of Republicans who voted for impeachment last time around versus those who support them this time around. And I think that's going to be very, very interesting to watch. It seems as though there's growing pressure on Republicans to break with Trump and perhaps support this. And I think that's why we're seeing Kevin McCarthy, the Republican leader in the House, talking about having some kind of a vote on a censure resolution instead. That would give Republicans potentially an alternative to, get behind that's short of impeachment. But it doesn't look like that's going to really happen. And so I think that watching who these Republicans are that do support it will be the interesting thing to keep an eye out for.
Yeah, it is notable that the number three ranking Republican in the House, Liz Cheney, says she will support an impeachment vote. That says a lot. Also, the fact that Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, at least according to the New York Times, is pleased that impeachment's happening, thinking it will make it easier to purge President Trump from the party. How could all this play into what Republicans ultimately decide today?
Well, this is all very interesting, as you've said. You know, in addition to being the number three House Republican, Liz Cheney is the daughter, of course, of former Vice President Dick Cheney. So she's someone that, you know, is seen as a bit of an establishment fixture within the party. I think that, you know, especially, though, what Mitch McConnell does next is going to be very, very telling. And even the idea that McConnell would be thinking and, you know, in terms of purging Trump from the party, I think is a significant development and a bit of a break from what we've seen from him in the past. You know, McConnell is someone who's very circumspect in how he talks about anything, but he's been particularly circumspect in his comments about Trump during his presidency. He has, you know, kept Trump a bit at arm's length, but really hasn't publicly broken with him until last week when he got up on the Senate floor, you know, just before the riot and talked about the need to certify the election. By all accounts, McConnell was very, very rattled by what transpired at the Capitol last week and is very angry about it. And it sounds like he might be ready to move ahead, potentially even, you know, with these articles of impeachment. And that's certainly, I think, going to be the focus of Washington reporters in the coming days.
Well, it doesn't look as though President Trump himself is rattled by any of this, particularly given some of the public comments we've heard from him in less than 24 hours.
Yeah, and it's important, I think, to note that, you know, it's quite possible that Trump's visit to the border wall in Texas yesterday, or section of the completed border wall, or completed section of the border wall in Texas yesterday, that this could end up being his last public appearance as president. We don't know necessarily that we'll hear from him again. That being said, I think it is telling that he went to the border. He went back to an issue that resonates with his base, one that he campaigned on hard in 2016, which is, you know, building the wall with Mexico, cracking down on illegal immigration. And I think that is, you know, an attempt, as you say, by Trump to sort of burnish his credentials, his legacy as he leaves office. But I think that, you know, frankly, the megaphone that he has as president isn't as loud as it used to be for a lot of reasons. And I think that, you know, certainly the legacy is going to include this historic second impeachment effort that we're seeing today in the House, and also, you know, his role in the events of that led to the mob attack on the Capitol last week.
Yeah, that megaphone certainly diminished by the fact that he lost his Twitter account, and now YouTube is starting to pull videos from President Trump's account on that site as well. Unfortunately, we only have a little more than a minute left here. I want to get to some of the developments around President-elect Biden's transition. He continues to name potential picks for top agencies here. At the same time, it's looking as though this drive toward impeachment could make it more difficult for him to get cabinet picks confirmed quickly.
Yeah, Democrats in the Senate in particular have been critical of their Republican counterparts who were in the majority, you know, prior to now or prior to the inauguration, for not moving, not moving fast enough to vet Biden's picks. That could have all started after the election. It was, of course, delayed somewhat by the contested election, but then even once the election was basically called and certified, that has not moved forward as quickly. And, you know, that's put a lag on, you know, how quickly the Senate can process and get these nominations to the floor. Obviously, what's going on with impeachment and the questions surrounding that are only compounding that problem. So the end result's going to be that Biden will probably have to name a couple of acting interim directors of big agencies like Treasury, even in the Defense Department, potentially, until the Senate can act to put those people in place.
Bloomberg Politics Senator Kathleen Hunter, we know it's going to be a very busy day for you and the rest of the political team at Bloomberg News. Thank you so much for joining us ahead of the House impeachment debate that is set to begin in a little more than 2 hours, 9 a.m. Wall Street time, with votes on impeachment expected later this afternoon. Stay with Bloomberg Radio for all the latest. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, providing industry partners with commercially focused research and innovation services through its New Jersey Innovation Institute. More at njii.com. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Anyone flying to the U.S. will soon need to show proof of a negative test for COVID-19. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention requirement expands on a similar one announced late last month for passengers coming from the United Kingdom. The new order takes effect in 2 weeks. History in Canada. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has made the first Canadian to soar into space his foreign minister. Former astronaut Marc Garneau will also head the Cabinet Committee on Canada-United States Relations. The 71-year-old is an electrical engineer and former Royal Canadian Navy officer. He became the first Canadian in space when he flew aboard the U.S. space shuttle in 1984. And the International Space Station has bid adieu to 12 bottles of French Bordeaux wine and hundreds of snippets of grapevines that spent a year orbiting the world in the name of science. None of the bottles will be open until the end of February. Months of chemical testing will follow. Researchers are eager to see how space altered the sedimentation and bubbles. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. S&P futures are down about 6 points now. Dow futures down 29. NASDAQ futures down 15. And the 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 1.12%. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.